It is late night right here on Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join us here tonight is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And we will certainly do our fair share of basketball talk tonight as the Celtics, they're in a bit of a dogfight right now. An ugly game, but a game where, let's face it, against the Portland Trail Blazers, Blazers are a good team. They're playing much better overall than the Celtics. The Celtics, though, another no-show for the most part through three quarters. They were lucky to still be in this game going into the fourth and finally showing some signs of life here in the fourth. So we will continue to update you guys accordingly here as the Celtics, they have gone cold a bit but continue to trail the Blazers 78-74 with about 7 minutes remaining in this one. So when this thing concludes, you know, I'm sure we'll get into plenty of Celtics talk tonight. Until then, if you've got Celtics thoughts, we'll certainly take them. But depending on how this game goes, my thoughts and feelings here could be very, very different, right? Because this is one of those games where, despite the fact that it's been ugly, you've lost three straight games out of the All-Star break. There's something fundamentally wrong with this team's chemistry. It's broken right now. There's been infighting. There's been little disputes that have turned into larger disputes. It seems like there's been an alienation of defensive effort for the most part. There's been an alienation, total alienation, of playing with any kind of poise and composure. Forget about ball movement and pace and space. I mean, it's hero ball, hero ball, hero ball, and this thing is broken from the core. And I don't know if a win over the Blazers at the Garden, a comeback win, is going to fix it, but it certainly will take some of the pressure off of this team. Because there's an old thing with basketball, and when things aren't going well, and Tommy Heinsohn talks about it all the time, when things aren't going well and the shots aren't falling, guys tend to aim. And if you guys played basketball growing up as I did, you know that. If you miss 4, 5, 6 consecutive shots, you start aiming. Well, you start pressing. And if you start pressing the way the Celtics have for most of this season, you just never get around to playing good, cohesive basketball. Your confidence is never where it should be. And this team has played like they've been questioning their confidence all season long. So we'll get into more of the Celtics coming up in a little while on the program. Until then, I do want to get to some of the stuff that Reamer wrote about today on WEI.com, where essentially, you know, he's agreeing with the Massachusetts lawmakers because they've proposed legislation this week that would ban tackle football through seventh grade. He says, under the proposed rule, the kids that still be able to play flag football or touch football, meaning they could develop their skills without destroying their brains. And Reamer says, it sounds like a win-win. Come on. Like, this is a big problem for me. I am so sick of the pussification of America, and that's exactly what this is. If you don't want your kids to play tackle football, that's totally fine. I'm not here to judge you. My son is 8 years old. He plays flag football right now, next year, the year after. If he wants to play tackle football, it is a conversation that my wife and I will have, but we're not going to say no to it. There's too many valuable things that come out of playing football, that come out of playing basketball, that come out of playing a team sport, baseball. And you know, flag football does a lot of good. Reamer plays flag football. My son plays flag football, and it is fun. But it is not football. It's just not. It is missing one of the biggest components that makes football the game that we love to watch each and every week. It's why the ratings are what they are. Everybody loves to watch it. You mean to tell me that if we took tackle football, if we took the NFL, and we decided, you know what, no more tackling because the brains are getting damaged, CTE is too big of a problem, so we're going to put two brightly colored flags and hook it into everybody's butts, okay? And we're going to play flag football, the Patriots, suddenly a flag football team. What do you think the ratings would look like? Do you think people would still be watching? Of course not. So people that try to tell me that, yeah, flag football is just as good, flag football is fun, it has its place, but by no means should we consider it the game of football. And this is one of these articles where, you know, it's easy for Reamer, I think. He doesn't have kids. He's a young guy who doesn't have kids. So for him to sit here and say it's a win-win, well, what perspective does he have? You know, what sort of experience is Reamer drawing on here when he's agreeing with Massachusetts that wants to essentially take parenting out of my house, which is where it belongs? The parenting belongs in within your four walls. And this is just another idea where big government comes in and takes over for you. And I've got a big problem with this. You know, you want to control health care. You want to control abortions. You want to control my money. You want to control this. You want to control that. But now we're getting into football. Like, the lawmakers have nothing better to do than really get involved here. There are concussions at every level in every sport. I hate to tell you, if you play basketball growing up, you know that there's always some concussions. It's just a fact of the game. Somebody's going to catch a wild elbow. There's going to be a concussion there. There's concussions in hockey. There's concussions in soccer. There's concussions in volleyball. I mean, next thing you know, once you pass legislation like this, you're asking to fundamentally change the way that we play sports, the way that kids play sports. My son doesn't happen to be the most athletic kid in the world. He's kind of a goof like I was. That being said, he will always play a sport. He can play the piano. He can be a straight-A student. He can be addicted to Minecraft. But I will make sure that he always plays a sport, because there are valuable life lessons that you learn when you are a member of a team that you don't learn from anywhere else in life. And now at 39 years old, looking back, I was never the best basketball player. I played kindergarten through high school, but I was always one of the last guys off the bench. It didn't make a difference, because the lessons that I learned throughout all those years of playing basketball, they've stuck with me throughout life. When I lead my sales team at work, I draw on the experiences that I had as a kid playing basketball, as a high school guy playing basketball, because you learn how to operate within a team atmosphere. You learn how to have everybody have a role and thrive within their roles. And when a team is humming and a team is playing well, there's no better feeling in the world than that. And you only get that by being a member of a team. And look, one of my biggest regrets is not playing more football as a kid. And that's why my son, if he's showing interest, he wants to play, I am absolutely going to allow him to play. And if he happens to suffer a concussion, well, then we can reassess from that point. If he has a second concussion, we can certainly reassess at that point. But the fact is, we're over here, we're doing what we always do. And that's, we're addressing a problem that hasn't happened yet. And what we're doing is we're panicking because one particular problem is garnering a tremendous amount of attention right now. So let's overdo it, and let's overreach, and let's be overbearing. And now let's reach within your four walls of your home, and let's tell you that you can't parent your kid the way that you want to parent. And the fact that Reamer agrees with this, I shouldn't be surprised. It's usually people that don't have kids that want to tell people with kids how to parent, and it is hypocritical, and it angers me. It is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Opening the show tonight, talking about this youth football proposal where Massachusetts lawmakers are essentially asking Massachusetts to put into law that your kids cannot play tackle football until they've reached the seventh grade. Is that something that you want to see passed? Do you want the choice taken away from you as a parent in Massachusetts? I certainly don't want that choice ever taken away from me. If my wife and I, if we decide as a family that tackle football is not for us, is not for our family, it's not worth the risk, well, then that's our choice to make, isn't it? Like, where does Massachusetts get off thinking that they've got the right to reach within my four walls? That is something that big government continues to try and get bigger and bigger and bigger. It's like they think you're idiots. It's like they think that we're idiots. We're not capable of making good, smart parenting decisions. We're not capable of making the best decisions that are in the best interest of our kids. So we need the Massachusetts lawmakers, the heroes that they are, to step in and tell us what we can and cannot do as parents. That is offensive to me. That pisses me off. And that makes me so angry. It really does, and I feel bad. You know, I'm lucky at this point. I moved out of Massachusetts a few years ago. I'm lucky because I don't think in New Hampshire that this is going to happen. It's live free or die, but my sister, her kids here, live here in Massachusetts in Wakefield. I've got a tremendous amount of friends and family in Massachusetts, and this is one of the reasons why I got out of that state. It really is. This is overbearing and overreaching. And you know, for Reamer to write this article, I don't know if he really means what he's saying here. Because, again, don't you have to have some sort of life experience to draw on if you're going to agree with legislation such as this? Don't you have to have some sort of parenting experience to draw on if you're going to write 1,000 words telling me why Massachusetts has the right to tell us what we can and cannot do with our kids? Flag football is fine. It really is. It's a fun game, but it is not the same as tackle football. And there's something to be said for the camaraderie and the tight-knitted group that becomes your team that you stick with when you play Pop Warner football. And I don't want to see that go away in any way, shape, or form. So it is Sports Radio, WEEI. It is late night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Opening the show tonight, talking about this Reamer situation. WEEI.com, he writes, Reamer, call me king of snowflakes, but Massachusetts youth tackle football ban must become law. Yeah, he is a snowflake, and he's a snowflake without the proper parental experience to be able to make that call. He could have written anything else today, and I wouldn't have picked on him because I love the kid, but this is out of bounds. That's like me. You know, that's like me trying to tell a politician how to do his job. Or that's like me trying to pretend that I'm good enough to be on the Boston Celtics because I played amateur basketball 25 years ago in high school. It's just not the case. At least when it comes to parenting, you know, if you've got an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, an 11-year-old, and you want to have a discussion with me, let's have that because we've got something in common. We've got a decade plus of parental experience. So let's talk about it. You know, let's have a conversation about it. What works for you? What works for me? But for people that, and this always happens, it's always the people that don't have kids. It's always the people that don't have kids that will tell you what works and what doesn't work. They'll tell you, oh, you know, you shouldn't bribe your kid to do something. You know, that's the most obnoxious thing in the world. And it's always somebody without a kid that says that. Like, really? You try to get your 11-year-old daughter motivated in the morning without telling her that she can go play with her friend when she's done with her chores. You try to get that done, okay? These kids are tough. They absolutely are. And I am all for sharing ideas. I am all for having a group conversation. I am all for, you know, it takes a village. I believe in all of that. But that doesn't mean that the village needs to step in and write the laws for me, write the rules for me, and make me follow your rules because you think that parents are a bunch of idiots that don't have what it takes to raise their kids right. It's up to you. You mother and fathers in Massachusetts, isn't it? It's your call. And guess what? If you think that your kids shouldn't play tackle football, I don't care. I'm not going to get on you about that. Just because I think my son should play tackle football doesn't mean I'm going to get on somebody who believes that their kids should not play tackle football. That is a family decision that gets made between the kids and the parents and maybe the coach and teachers. But the only people that should be involved in that decision-making process are the people that the parents want involved. There should never be a lawmaker reaching into your house telling you what you can and cannot do with your child. This is becoming such a problem, not only in Massachusetts, but all over this country, where big government wants to step in and tell you that you're not good enough. Tell me that I'm not good enough. You're not capable of being the type of parent that you think you are. You're not capable of raising your child right, so we're going to step in and raise your child for you. That is such hot garbage. And I'm not sure that Reamer actually fully understands that's what's going on here. And if he does, then shame on him for actually writing this with absolutely zero experience as a parent to draw on when writing this article. It is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. When we come back, I promise you we'll get to your phone calls talking about this Reamer thing, the Massachusetts lawmakers proposing this legislation that would ban tackle football through seventh grade. The Celtics right now, they're down 10 again with about 3 minutes to go. Not looking good for the Celtics. We will get into this game and the current situation that the Celtics find them in. All that and your phone calls when we come back right here on Sports Radio, WEEI. It is late night right here on Sports Radio, WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. And to the texter that says, Pat, the Celtics suck. That is probably the most succinct and accurate text that I've received here in recent weeks. It's just not pretty. And this Celtics team continues to find ways to lose basketball games that they probably should not lose. And it's maddening, it's frustrating, and it's enough to make you want to cry if you're a Celtics fan. It's just so hard to watch. But it is Sports Radio, WEI. We will talk more about this Celtics game once this thing becomes final, as the Celtics now down 7 with 28 seconds to go. Until then, I do want to get to some of these phone calls we have here on both the Celtics and this potential Massachusetts law that's been proposed that essentially wants to reach into your house, reach into my house, reach into everybody's house and tell you how to raise your kids. Tell you that you can't allow your kid to play tackle football until they reach seventh grade. I know that there's some studies that have been done. I really do. But I know that when you have enough paid studies that want to find a particular result, you can find any result that you want. And that is the core problem with so many of these studies. But for these studies that say, you know, in 2017, Boston University published a landmark study that found that there was a robust relationship between playing tackle football before age 12 and long-term clinical dysfunction. Those who participate in tackle football before turning 12 double their chances of developing behavior problems and triple their risk of experiencing depression. I'll tell you what, kids that have low self-esteem have depression problems. Kids that don't play a group sport, don't play a team sport, have severe depression and self-esteem issues. So, you know, where's the Boston University study on that? You know, where's the study that tells me that if you don't play a team sport, and tackle football is one of these team sports, that the camaraderie is no better than it is with tackle football? It just, that's a fact. You know, those groups are the most tight-knit groups that there are. And if you want to reach in and remove that, or at least remove the decision-making process from mom and dad, that is completely off-limits to me. So we'll get to those phone calls as well at 617-779-7937. Let's get out to these phones. Let's go to George. George is in West Warwick. George, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, Patrick, I totally agree with you, and the call screener agrees, too.
He's a smart guy.
When you're a parent, and no matter what your son or daughter plays, any sport, there's always a situation. Like even now in T-ball, they're hitting the ball for T. The girl or the boy is wearing a batting helmet. An injury can happen at any time in any sport.
Yep.
So even if, like, according to the article, the way I was reading it from Rima, I could be wrong. But do you know an accident could happen in flag football as an 8-year-old, never mind as a 31-year-old?
Of course it could. So my son plays flag football, and this year he fell flat on his face, and his two front teeth, they're adult teeth, and he fell down and knocked him out. Do you know what kind of damage that does to the face and the facial structure of an 8-year-old kid that's got adult teeth? I mean, we've spent thousands of dollars, and the fact is, we
get them replaced because they weren't even probably ready to come out yet.
But the fact, right? No, I'm talking permanent adult teeth. So we can't physically permanently replace them until he's 18 because the bone structure in his face will continue to grow. So the poor kid has to have temporaries, this, that, the other thing to make him look normal. It's awful, but that was done during flag football.
And Patrick, I also agree with another thing, like, my mother and father used to pray to God my sister didn't get spiked with a volleyball. She played girls volleyball in high school. Because that could, you get one in the face on a hard spike, or like, you know, your neck snaps back. And when I was on the pitcher's mound, even when I was playing AAU, the last thing they wanted was a line drive at my face. They used to pray for that every day. George, you're a talented pitcher. You got a lot going for you. But if you ever get one in the face or the head, right?
Yeah. No, I'm with you, George. It's just not – look, again, parents can make the decision. I'm not here to tell parents that your decision is wrong. If you decide that you don't want your kid playing tackle football, that is your decision to make, and I'm not here to tell you otherwise. Because each and every family has the right to decide for themselves. We live in Windham, New Hampshire. Windham has the highest-rated public school system in the state of New Hampshire. We choose to send our kids to private Catholic school and pay a tuition that we probably can't afford to send them there. It's important to us, so we do it. You know, it's a choice that we make. Does it make sense to some people? Nope, doesn't make any sense to a lot of people, and they let us know about it. But we're the parents, so we've got the right to make that decision. You're the parents of these kids. You have the right to decide if you want your son or daughter to play flag football, tackle football, or no football at all. But to sit here as a state and to sit there and actually say, we're going to try and pass a law that tells you what you can and cannot do with your kid, uh-uh. There is absolutely no way that people of Massachusetts should feel comfortable about Massachusetts lawmakers proposing any kind of legislation that dictates what sport your kid can and cannot play. It is Sports Radio WEI. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. So the Celtics-Blazers game, it has gone final. the Celtics, they lose 97-92 to the Blazers at home, and it just keeps getting uglier for the Celtics. So now that the game's gone final, if you're driving home from the Garden, you got thoughts on the Celtics and their inability to do anything post-All-Star break. And I'll just say it. I mean, Kyrie, his numbers were good tonight once again, but the two games going into the All-Star break, no Kyrie Irving, the Celtics look good. They look really good on national TV against the Sixers, and here we are again. The Celtics now, they have not won since Kyrie Irving has returned to the lineup. Is that becoming a huge part of the problem here? Is it real? I mean, like, really, we have to look beyond Kyrie's numbers and look at this disjointed group of Boston Celtics. There is something fundamentally wrong with this basketball team. And if you can help me pinpoint what it is, God help you, because I have tried to dissect this thing all season long, and each time I think I've pinpointed the problem, another problem arises. So we'll take your phone calls on the Celtics as well as 617-779-7937. Let's stick with these calls. Let's go to Andre. Andre's on the Cape. Andre, you're next up here on WEEI.
How you doing? I think I have it pinpointed what the Celtics issue is. I think I have it pinpointed, and it's something that you might not expect, okay? It's Brad Stevens and his atrocious rotations. Brad Stevens is the Walter White. He's the Heisenberg of this Celtics team. We were down 4 points with 6:30 in the fourth quarter. We had five of our ball players on the court. We had Morris at the five, Hayward at the four, Jalen at the three, Tatum at the two, Kyrie at the one. We were making progress, and then what happens? Okay, the mad scientist Brad Stevens, who still believes he's the smartest guy in the room, he started subbing. Okay, game over. Okay, we go down 9. Okay, Brad Stevens and his rotations and this analytics, that is the Celtics' number one problem. We have the deepest team. We have the talent. Okay, but too much mixing and matching. Okay, and that is the Celtics' biggest problem, and his inability to relate to stars.
So let me ask you this then, Andre. So are you in favor of, when this season is over, Brad Stevens being replaced?
What I'm in favor of is what the Celtics doing, what every other leading team in the NBA does, and that is having two head coaches. Okay, your assistant coach being a former head coach that can delegate. This is what Golden State does with Steve Kerr and Mike Brown. This is what the Celtics did in their championship years with Doc Rivers
and
Tom Thibodeau. It's abundantly clear that Stevens and his college ideology, his college approach, is incompatible with NBA stars. The message is not getting across, and it's you have Gordon Hayward, who he committed $30 million to, who was his former player at Butler, completely checked out because he delegated him to a reserve rotation role. You have $30 million. The guy can play. Why is he getting 20 minutes a game? He has to play. All of this mixing and matching, I don't care what the analytics say. I don't care how smart you are, Brad, okay? Put your guys on the court, period. We were down 4 with 6:30 in this game. You can go back and watch it.
No, I watched it.
We had five of our best 8 players. This is an 8-man team. We have 8 players. I don't want to hear about Semi. I don't want to hear about Tice. I don't want to hear about, Baines. We have 8. We go 8 deep. The starting, you got Kyrie, Tatum, Jalen, Hayward, and Horford. Those are your big money top pick, top draft pick, and then top money guys.
But I got news. But tonight, Andre, they only went 8 deep. The 9th guy that got in the game was Robert Williams, but it was for less than a minute. So they went 8 deep tonight. That's the thing.
He should have stayed with that 5 that he had. He put Robert Williams in. He subbed Morris out. What happened? Robert Williams comes in the game. He gets dunked on, okay? And then Brad takes him out immediately and puts Horford in. It's not NBA 2K, Brad. You can't put somebody on the bench, okay? Then their energy goes up to 100, and then you bring them back, and it's all good and well. That's not how basketball is played. Guys have to get in a rhythm. I don't understand why Brad does not recognize this.
Andre,
I don't want to hear any.
I love it. I love the take, man. You did 5 minutes. I love it. So here's the thing. I don't think anybody's in favor of replacing Brad Stevens, but it's all on the table now for the Celtics team because they're a flat-out embarrassment right now. The good news is, and I hesitate to say this, but there's still 20 games to go in the regular season. They are still a talented team, and there still is some hope that maybe at some point here it clicks and they can turn it on. But we've been saying that and waiting for that since October. And each and every time we thought that they finally were there, they finally found what works, it finally clicked, what happened? They wind up losing 3 in a row, 4 in a row, 5 in a row. And this has become such a hot and cold team all season long. There's been zero consistency from the Celtics team. And Brad, he's got to play a part in that. He plays a large role in that. Now, in Brad's defense, he's done this each and every year. He has. So each and every year for the first 60 to 65% of the season, he likes to go 11, 12, 13 deep. And then generally, the last 15, 20 games of the season, he really tightens up his lineup, tightens it up to a 7, 8, 9-man rotation, and people get clearly defined roles at that point. The difference is, in years past, the Celtics have been a team that, let's call it, they were lovable. They were a team that was out there overachieving because the expectations weren't high for them. So if the Celtics were 12 games over 500, as they are right now, 2 years ago when it was Al Horford and Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder and, you know, that team, Jonas Jerebko, if it was that team at 12 games over 500 with 20 games remaining, guess what? Everybody's happy. But this year, because the expectations were so high on this team, it's just another disappointing season. But this team, they don't like each other. This team is not playing for one another. And even tonight when they made their couple of runs in the fourth quarter, you know, you had guys up there getting excited. You had Marcus Smart leading the emotional charge. But you also had Marcus Smart, who you had to have on the floor because emotionally he was the only guy really getting the other guys excited, playing a good hard-nosed defense, putting his heart and soul into it. But when you have that good version of Marcus Smart on the floor, you got to live with the horrific three that he took with under a minute to go. There was no reason for him to take that shot, but what does he do? He takes the worst possible shot. The Celtics had barely gotten down on the offensive end. So what happens? You miss the three, it goes back rim, and you give the Blazers a transition basket that puts them up by 7. Ball game, right then and there. He broke 3 cardinal rules of late game basketball right then and there. And the Celtics don't do anything about it. There are no penalties. There are no ramifications. There is no consequence for a guy like Marcus Smart when he continues to make mind-boggling shots like that, or take mind-boggling shots like that, making horrific basketball decisions. But you need him on the floor because he's one of the few that brings the energy, that brings the heart, that brings quote-unquote Celtic pride when he's out there on the floor. But then he does things like that, and you think to yourself, is it worth it? This team is a heartless bunch right now. This team is a team that has absolutely no desire to win. They've got no killer instinct. They've got nothing that we've come to know and love about the Brad Stevens-led teams of years past. And here's my fundamental worry, and we can get into this a little bit later if you'd like, but my fundamental worry, I mentioned this the other night, is let's just forget about this year. Let's make the assumption that this Celtics team remains wildly inconsistent between now and the end of the regular season, and they wind up losing at some point before the conference finals. So whether it's round one or round two, let's make the assumption that this will be the first time in 3 years that this Celtics team does not reach the conference finals. If at that point they decide that they still want to keep Kyrie Irving around and they throw the max contract at him, and if he signs it because the Celtics have a larger play that they want to go after here, and they want to trade their youth for Anthony Davis, or potentially a sign and trade for Kevin Durant, and they want to go all in with a big two of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, or a big two of Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving, how comfortable are we at this point that Brad Stevens can handle coaching that team? Is Brad Stevens really the right guy to coach a team that's got two top 10 players on it? Because he had a hard time. Remember, let's go back a few years here. Brad had a hard time with Rondo. And at the time, Rondo was still considered a top 30 player in the NBA, a top 40 player in the NBA at the tail run of his at the tail end of his run with the Celtics. That was before he became more of a journeyman. But at the time, he was still considered one of those guys, and especially in his own head. So Rondo was really the first taste of dealing with an NBA star or somebody with an NBA star's mentality. And Brad had a hard time dealing with Rondo. Ultimately, Rondo got shipped out of here. They tried to make it like they were friendly and they respected each other. But behind the scenes, there was a lot of conflict between Brad Stevens and Rajon Rondo. But that went away. You traded Rondo, and Rondo was gone. And what happened? Brad got to do what he loved to do and what he's best at. He got the best. He got the most out of the underperforming talent that he had on that roster. He made Evan Turner, who was almost out of the league, get $70 million. He turned Kelly Olynyk into a $50 million player. You know, he made Jordan Crawford a legitimate NBA player for a couple of seasons. He has been this guy. We got the best out of Avery Bradley. You know, when you've got guys that have low expectations, nobody's better at getting the most out of them than Brad Stevens. But forget about this year for a moment, because this year is nearly over. This season, it will take a miraculous turnaround to fix this right now. But the larger play, the play that will define the future of the Boston Celtics, is ultimately if Danny Ainge pulls the trigger on the Anthony Davis deal and you say bye-bye to all the youth and all the assets and you go all in with Anthony Davis or maybe Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Is Brad Stevens, the brilliant young Brad Stevens, is he capable of leading that type of basketball team to an NBA championship? I don't think he is. The evidence tells us he might not be the right guy to do it. We'll talk about that and more when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEI. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is late night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Continuing our conversations here tonight, two of them on the table to start the program tonight. First, you've got this whole Massachusetts mess, and leave it up to Massachusetts to want to be the front runners and really be at the forefront of making our country even weaker than it already is, making our youth in this country already more like snowflakes than they are like children. I mean, the fact is the pussification of America continues, and Massachusetts is proud to be at the forefront of it. Massachusetts lawmakers calling for proposed legislation that would ban tackle football through seventh grade. So we're talking about that with you guys, where, again, if you don't want your kids to play football, that is your opinion, that is your right, and I am not going to reach into your living room and criticize your right to choose as a parent. Guess what? I think there's a lot more good than bad that happens in youth tackle football and Pop Warner football. I really do. And yes, my son has played flag football for a few years now, but now he's of age where we're talking about potentially putting him in Pop Warner. And that's a decision that my wife and I will make together. Depends on what's best for our family and our unique situation with our son. And everybody's kid is different, and everybody's family life is different, and everybody's core beliefs are different. But in no way, shape, or form should the state of Massachusetts have the right to reach in and tell you what to do. And in no way, no way, shape, or form should our very own Alex Reamer write on WEI.com today that he agrees with the state of Massachusetts, saying that this is a win-win situation. And he actually compares it to his adult flag football league that he plays in, saying that you'll still get the same camaraderie, the same sort of team lessons that you learn, the value of being a member of a team if your kid plays flag football versus tackle football. You very well may. But so what? You got a guy that is not a parent, somebody who has got zero experience, and I hate people like this, and there's always one in the bunch, somebody that has no experience to draw on, yet they have an opinion on everything. That guy is a jerk, and that's what Alex is in this situation. He's being a jerk. He's being a little know-it-all. And at the end, isn't it very cute where he says, you know, at the end of his games, instead of being concerned about CTE and head injuries, all they're concerned about is where they're going to have their mimosa after the game. Well, isn't that special? But you're an adult, okay? You're an adult. You can make your own decisions. But don't reach into my house, Alex, and tell me how to raise my kid unless you've got a decade of experience raising a kid of your own. And when you do, guess what? I will value your opinion, because your opinion will matter to me at that point. But until you have that experience to draw on, who are you? You know what? Because you want to cite a BU study? Because I can cite a dozen studies for you as well. Now, that's the thing. When we start citing studies and we start citing experts, there's an expert on everything. There's a contrasting study, a contrasting opinion. There always is. So, you know, maybe on WEI.com tomorrow, I'll write the counterpiece to this, because this, for me, this is the ultimate insult. First, you have the state telling you that they would choose to tell you how to raise your kids, which is a kick in the nuts. And then you have somebody who has got zero experience as a parent saying, yeah, being the state's biggest cheerleader. Please, it's two kicks in the nuts, and it's not okay with me. So we're talking about that, and speaking about kicks in the nuts, the Celtics, they lose their fourth straight game. They're six out of their last eight. Celtics held with under 100 points for the third time in four games, and now they're 2.5 back of Philly for fourth in the East, and it's getting ugly, and it's going to get uglier before it gets better. The Wizards are in town come Friday. But then it's the Rockets and the Warriors. This has the potential to get very ugly very quickly here. So we're talking about that as well with you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's go to Mike. Mike's in North Providence. Mike, you're next up here on WEEI.
Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is one of those ones where I hate to be wrong, but, you know, I mean, Terry, quote-unquote, injured tonight. You know, I mean, this is – I told you before the season began that he shouldn't. They should have traded him, you know? I mean, that he shouldn't have even been here and that he was going to be struggling just because he wasn't even going to get enough shots. And I didn't want Morris here the whole time either. And, I mean, there's no Monday morning quarterbacking. I was way out ahead of this. But I would like to point out, including this game now, plus-minus since January 1st.
So are you going to go back to the Lakers game? Because isn't Gordon Hayward?
January 1st. This is good enough.
Okay.
January 1st.
All right.
Tatum, plus 111. Brown, plus 102. Al, plus 85. Kyrie, plus 66. And he's missed some games. Marcus Smart, plus 67. Gordon Hayward, plus 57. Marcus Morris, -4. Now, you know, this is starting to become a problem, you know, and he's a decent role player, but you win by backing the talent. That is how you win in the NBA. And can I just give you an example of this? Because I we've had this conversation before, and I can tell that a lot of people out there just don't seem to understand this very fundamental aspect. But,
yeah, go for it, Mike.
Yeah. Okay. You have two players. Both are taking 10 shots. One scores 14 points, the other scores 12. So that's 26. 14 plus 12 is 26, right? But if you have, like, a Greg Popovich or Phil Jackson or Steve Kerr, they say, you know what? I'm not settling for that. The guy who scored 14 points, I'm giving him 15. Where am I getting those five shots from? I'm getting them from the guy who scored 12. So now the guy who's taken 15 shots is scoring 21 points, and the guy who's taken five shots is scoring six. Just that they just keep their same rate of scoring. Oh, wait a second, 21 plus 6? That's 27. Oh, you got one more point, just poof. It just materialized out of nowhere. But it doesn't stop there. Because now the guy that's scoring 21 points, he gets more respect from the referees. So now they start blowing the whistle for him some more. Now he's scoring 22. Poof, you're up to 28 points. But it doesn't stop there. The guy who's now has taken five shots, he's not taking five of the same kinds of shots he did before. He's taking his five best shots. You know, taking people off the dribble, fallaways, all that stuff, that's gone. He's just taking the good ones. So instead of scoring 6 points on five shots, he might be scoring seven. Poof, you're up to 29. You just made 3 points appear out of nothing by redistributing the shots in a more effective way. And if you look at the way those guys run their teams, that's exactly what they do.
No, I can't disagree with that. But, you know, here's the thing, too. Earlier this season, Mike, you were one of the guys that would have these conversations about Brad tightening the rotation, and he started to do that. But what he's not doing is what you're saying now. He's got the rotation down to 8, sometimes 9 guys.
No, but shot distribution's always been my point.
Yeah, that's
Patrick,
that's the big. I know. But I keep notes on you, Mike. Okay, because you like to catch me. So if I go back to November, we were talking about the rotation being too big. Okay, so he has corrected one problem, but the shot distribution is still a huge problem. The one thing here is you did say you opened the conversation saying you have to back the talent. But
yes.
But when it comes to Kyrie, you've yet to give me your true feelings on him. Because I've got you're a big numbers guy, and I'll give you a small snapshot from tonight just to sort of prove my point. But are you a big Kyrie guy? Do you really think that he is the guy that's going to elevate this team?
No, I mean, put it this way. I think Kyrie is a second-tier level, like, set of player. He's not on the level of somebody like LeBron or Stephen Curry or something like that. He's a very, very good player. He's a great scorer. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But he's not that transformational guy. And neither was Paul Pierce or Ray Allen.
No, they all needed help. They needed help. Yeah. And so I wonder if the Celtics keep Kyrie around or if Kyrie wants to stay, if you'll get the best version of Kyrie if they pair him with Durant or AD.
You know, Doc, if Doc was here, you have to remember, when Doc first showed up here, he and Paul were loggerheads. But Doc won. And you know what I'm saying? And he got Paul to buy in. When Phil Jackson first showed up on the Lakers, on the Bulls, Michael Jordan's like, what's this crazy guy?
I know. Yep.
Phil Jackson won over Michael. I'm going to tell you, Michael was a higher profile player than Kyrie ever was.
Yep.
And this is the sort of thing. You have, you know, Brad, I'm wondering if he knows what to do to begin with. But if you have the right vision and you know how the NBA really works, you got to convince him. Listen, these kids here, Tatum, Brown, those guys, they're your best friends because they're the number two and three best other players on the team, and they can help you win right now.
Well, they can.
What are you waiting for?
That's the thing. They proved it last year, Mike. And listen, I appreciate the phone call. I'm up against it here. But that's what we all know. They can help you win right now. And it seems like Brad is hesitating to put that responsibility on their shoulders. But it's a responsibility that they should have. It's a responsibility that they thrived under last year. And I can hear the music, but I'm going to just say this. Part of the problem with Kyrie is his teammates don't like him, and they're not playing hard for him. And the evidence is right there tonight. It's just another small snapshot, but the evidence is here. Kyrie, the Celtics were being outplayed all night, by the way. Kyrie checks out of the game. The Celtics are trailing 70-59 with 2 minutes left in the third. The Celtics then they cut the Blazers' lead down to two without Kyrie Irving on the floor. 8 minutes to go in the fourth. Kyrie returns about a minute later with 7 minutes to go in the fourth. The Blazers immediately push the lead back up to 93-81 with 3 minutes to go in the game. The Celtics once again played their best basketball tonight with Kyrie Irving off the floor. And the last time the Celtics won a couple of games were the two games going into the All-Star break when Kyrie Irving was not on the floor. Is it a coincidence or is it a larger problem with the makeup of this basketball team? 1 hour down, 3 hours to go. When we come back, we'll continue talking about this whole thing in Massachusetts, how they want to make sure that you can't make decisions in your household. And shocker, Alex Reamer agrees with him. No flag football, no football, just flag football. And mimosas. At least Reamer gives you mimosas if you're out there playing football. We'll talk about that and the horrific Boston Celtics when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEI.